Good afternoon, and welcome to Duke in Ultim, which means go out into the deep. A one-hour program hosted by Rita Lane. Join us as we take up our nets and follow Jesus into the depths of the abundant life.
Hello, hello. Welcome to the show. I'm so happy to be here. You just have no idea. I was on vacation for 2 weeks and I broadcast remotely last Monday. And it's just not the same. It's just not the same. But thank God I can do that. But when I broadcast remotely, I'm only on the radio. I'm not on Facebook. And for some reason, I thought I wouldn't like being on camera, but I really like the fact that some people are watching and listening, and they give me really constructive, good feedback, and that's very helpful for me, and I thank you with my whole heart. I'm Rita Hauck-Lane, your host for the next hour. Please stay with me because we are seeking a deeper, more intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, and all the love that he offers to us and that we can offer ourselves to him. I thank God for your support, both your constructive criticism and support, your prayers, and also, of course, your donations to the station. If there's one thing we've learned over the last week or so, is how crucial the message, God's message in the Bible through Jesus Christ to the world is, how crucial it is, how important it is for this small voice that's been around for a long time to continue. I'm not talking about my voice. I'm talking about in his Sion Catholic Network. Yet we must continue to bring this good healing news of the gospel to the world. We must. It's a privilege. And your donations, your prayers are essential. You make this happen. Without you, that message isn't going to the young people. It's not going to the hurting, the dying, the sick. It's not going to those who have happiness but want more and need the kind of happiness, the unique and beautiful kind of happiness that only Jesus Christ can bring. So thank you, thank you, thank you for all of your help. Planning for this show has been difficult for me. I'm getting ready to begin leading a study of spiritual warfare and discernment of spirits at my parish in the women's study group. And I can tell you that the evil one has been complicating things and making it very difficult and challenging for me to do even the most simple things, because he doesn't like the idea that we are going to be on to him soon and his tactics and how to combat it. And if there's another thing we've learned over the last week or so, is just how active he is in the world. Unfortunately, he is. And a lot of the reason that he's that active is because people have turned away from the Lord. Even believers have decided that it's not important enough to do what he has asked us to do, to be in real communion with him. So basically, we got to find out what's going on. I've been to a number of retreats with exorcist priests, and I've read books, and I know a lot already, but to teach it to others, that's when he gets really nasty. So anyway, I was trying to figure out how to deal with tonight in a way that is constructive and upbeat, after all of the suffering we have seen and the sadness over the last week, and I realized that I really can't avoid that. And I didn't want to avoid it. I just thought, you know, there's a lot going on already, and so maybe I could take a different path. So anyway, I prayed and prayed and prayed about it, and this is where we're going. First of all, last week, I was remote. I was on the radio only, so I wasn't here with you and on Facebook. But I shared with you the joy of the two new recognized saints, St. Carlo Acutis and St. Pier Giorgio Frassati, two young men, young, dynamic, faith-filled, amazing young men who died young. And yet, I mean, even like Frassati, I mean, he died over 100 years ago, and he is a real dynamo even now. Isn't that remarkable? It's just remarkable. And Carlo Acutis, I mean, there are young people now that are considering the Lord, seeking him out because of Carlo Acutis. So basically, you know, it's just a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing. It has given us joy and hope and trust, because when we see that happening, especially with these two young men, a lot of the saints in recent history have been older. But these two young men the Lord gave to us for such a time as this. He knew that the young people of the world were hurting. The young people of the world have been lied to and have been given very little hope by the world. But God always gives hope. He always gives love. He always thinks about what do my children need? And he saw that they needed these two saints, and he made it happen. So we thank and praise him for that. And he showed us, hey, I'm still here. All right. One thing I forgot to share with you last week was that in the first full year after someone is canonized, made an official saint. So in the first full year of Carlo Acutis and Pier Giorgio Frassati, extraordinary graces are poured out on the world. Answers to prayers, etc., are granted when we ask them to pray with us, to intercede for us. We are intercessors. And what I mean by that is, first of all, let me say, I have always felt that my calling to this station has been to encourage believers who already practice their faith, who already are loving the Lord and wanting more, and also to encourage non-Catholics, Christians and unbelievers, to come towards the Lord, because he loves you so much, all right? And to increase their faith, help them to understand Catholicism, that sort of thing. I'm not criticizing anyone. I used to be a non-Catholic Christian, and I'm grateful for it. I had so much there. But as you know, I've told you before, this has been the greatest joy of my life, joining the Catholic Church. And so I'm here for the mature believer, I'm here for the beginning believer, and I'm here for someone who isn't quite sure what they think about all of this at this point. So basically, when we Catholics know that people in heaven are more alive than they were when they were here. They have special graces and special jobs to do. And one of those things is to pray. I mean, the book of Revelations talks about the rising prayers of the saints to the Lord. And that's not just the recognized saints with a capital S. It's also the holy people of God still here on earth praying. And those prayers rise to God like incense. So we know that the saints pray. We know that they are able to somehow hear us. And so, therefore, we can ask them to pray for us. It's not, they aren't little gods. They are just intercessors and models for us. So we can ask them to pray for to pray for our intentions and the people that we love. And it was funny because in that first year, a lot of miracles can happen. I saw it firsthand. I was in Rome for Mother Teresa's canonization. God bless her, and God bless all of us that were able to be there. That was remarkable. But a friend who was with me on the trip, her mother needed lung transplant. And she had aged out from the ability to get that lung transplant. And we were praying anyway through the whole canonization process. It was, 3 days long, and we were praying that a miracle would happen. And we were asking Mother Teresa to pray for her mother and to help with that. And the very day after her canonization, the very next day, there was a mass of thanksgiving to God for giving us Mother Teresa as an example and to teach us, and also for providing the miracles that allowed her to be elevated to official sainthood. During that mass, my friend got a phone call from back here in the States saying that a miracle had happened. Her mother was on her way to the hospital to have a lung transplant. It had just become available, and even though she had aged out, they were going to do it. Now that is a miracle in many, many ways. We saw it. We were all crying. We were all crying. We couldn't believe it. It was just so wonderful to be there in Rome in St. Peter's Square, thanking God for Mother Teresa and having that prayer answered right then and there. It was just amazing. And she, that was 2016, late 2016, she is still here. She is still alive and kicking and has had a wonderful life since then. Not perfect, not without its own challenges, but she has been richly, richly blessed. And so have we, because we saw it and we know where it came from. Okay, so ask Carlos Acutis, St. Carlos and St. Pier Giorgio, ask them to pray for your situations and for the people that you love. All of the prayer intentions that you have on your heart, everything on your heart, no matter how small, ask them to join with you and pray for those intentions. And I have to remind you, I've told you this before. You know, a lot of people think that God can't possibly be attentive to every person in the world. It's just not possible. You know, well, you know what? Baloney. Baloney. And I'll tell you why. You pick up your cell phone. And you open it up and you say, I go to my GPS system. I need directions to Home Depot. Okay. Home Depot, you put it in there. You choose which one. And this device, man-made device, knows exactly where you are, and how to get you there. You specifically, individually, if you're in a room with 100 people and they all turn their GPS on, each person will get an answer. Might overload everything, but each person will get an answer as if they were the only person in the world. Well, if a man-made device can do that, you know darn well that God Almighty, who helped design that device, can pay attention to each one of us. This is a tool for showing us that what God says he can do, he can do. All right? So, anyway, if you aren't Catholic or you really don't know how to ask them to pray, I wrote a little simple prayer here. It's a little longer than you might want to pray it, than you want to pray, and it doesn't have to be like this, but it's just an example for you. Okay, St. Carlo and or St. Giorgio, I thank God for your faithfulness and witness. It's a wonderful thing that you are a recognized saint that we can learn from and benefit from your prayers in heaven. I know you always wish to help those in need, and now I ask you to pray with me for, and you insert whatever it is. So you're basically, you don't have to think and all that stuff. You can basically say, hey, St. Carlos, I know you always wish to help those in need. And now I ask you to pray with me for my sick mother, the job I need, or whatever. You put that in there, okay? Thank you for praying with me. May the Lord be honored in our prayers. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. That's only one way to do it. There are many, many ways to do it. Just make up your own. You know, Lord, I've never heard of praying, asking prayers to pray of saints. So I'm asking Saint Frassati to pray for these things for me and obtain for me whatever graces are needed for this through his prayers. So there's all kinds of ways. Take advantage of this year of special graces. Do an act of faith. Lord, I know that you have made them a saint for a reason. I trust that, and I'm praying with that. Okay? All right. Okay. So last week, we were talking about the saints and how exciting and wonderful that was. Not just 2 days later, after my last broadcast, Charlie Kirk was shot and killed, murdered. It was like to go from the high and the unspeakable joy of celebrating these new young saints to the deep, heartbreaking sorrow and mourning as a result of this young man's horrendous murder. It's hard to believe the joy of the saints, the sorrow and devastation of a murder. And all within 3 days, two events involving younger people. Make note of that, folks. Two events involving younger people. The witness of extreme beauty countered by extreme ugliness. Words cannot even express how those two things have really almost overwhelmed us with joy and sorrow. Whether you agreed with Charlie Kirk or not, whether you're conservative or not, no matter religious or not, we need to be very, very, very concerned when people are murdered, assassinated, rejected because they have a difference in opinion of what others do. I'm not going into all the bologna sausage that's out there about he taught hatred and all that. He did not. He was pretty strident when he was younger. and maybe not as accomplished, or I should say as mature in his dealings with people. But in the last few years, he's been phenomenal. He's listened to people. He's invited people who have been hated. He's invited people who have been misunderstood or not listened to come and take the microphone and talk to him. And he has tried to help them in their walk with Jesus Christ, help them to see that the world has lied to them about what they can and cannot accomplish, and all sorts of things like that. So basically, whether you agree with him or not, it was horrific what happened to him, right in front of his wife, his two children, friends, family, and a lot of young people at this event. It was horrendous and evil. You can say it was anything else you want, but there was evil involved. Even if there's mental illness there, the evil one incited the anger and got this young man to do this atrocity, thinking he was doing good. That's the way the evil one does. So anyway, this whole thing was a very serious wake-up call to all peoples. All peoples, all walks of life. We have to stop making excuses, I should say, for bad behavior, for destruction, for murders, for abuse, for breaking the law. We have to stop saying that it's okay, or it didn't happen to me, so I'm not getting involved. You know, there are scriptures in the Bible that say you are not to treat the poor better than the rich in legal matters or in right and wrong matters. You're to treat them both the same and find the truth and support the truth. If a poor person has done something wrong and illegal, they should have to pay the price for that. If a rich person has done something illegal or, you know, not good, they should have to pay the price for it. Both should pay. Somewhere along the lines, we got this idea in this country anyway that a poor person is excused from any good behavior just because they're angry and they've suffered. Well, everybody suffers, y'all. Everybody does. And yes, we have to have compassion, but not on people who want to do evil, who want to murder, who want to abuse, who want to burn and do and steal and lie and cheat. Those things go against God and they go against the law. The law is there for a reason. It protects everybody, including that person who has done the evil. It protects them from themselves. So basically, we have to stop saying that it's okay to call people names. It's okay to just do whatever you want to do because you're hurting or you're mad or angry. We've got to stop that. We have to stand up for truth. We have to stand up for the law. If you don't like a law, get it changed. Start a movement. Change the law. It is possible, you know. So anyway, as a result of, you know, we've got these wonderful saints and we've got this horror with Charlie Kirk. It's a serious wake-up call. We're all called to something for it. But look, the church teaches that God allows evil, allows it, does not bring it, does not wish it, but allows it only if he is going to bring a greater good out of that something spectacular. And something so horrendous as the murder of this young man, the silencing of his voice and his message, regardless of what you think of it, something so horrendous as this, the Lord has said, enough. If you watched any of the memorial service yesterday, it was amazing. The Lord was spoke of a lot, but it was also hundreds of thousands of people. Hundreds of thousands of people were there and around there and across the nation and across the world remembering Charlie Kirk. And it wasn't just because Charlie was murdered. It wasn't just because his message was, at the time, silenced. It was because everybody started to see the reality of where we are going as a nation, where we are as a nation. And it's not good. It's not good. We have to be better. We are better, but we just haven't exercised that betterness. They came together. I think everybody there could relate somehow or another to this whole situation that has a little taste of hopelessness to it, but it's not really hopeless when you've got the Lord. Charlie had the Lord. A lot of people there had the Lord. A lot of people want the Lord. They want peace. They're tired of the endless bickering, the endless criticism, the endless anger, and end-of-the-world prophecies by politicians and their minions. There's more to life than that, folks. And that's what we're talking about. So I have to take a break in a second. So I'm asking you, please, please, stay with me. Come back and let's talk some more about how can we respond to this in a constructive, good, and wonderful way. How can we make a difference instead of being hopeless and helpless in all of this? Okay? So anyway, I am going to take a break as soon as the engineer gets back, and I'll be right back with you. God bless you.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road?" As we travel along the road together in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-2906 or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
Hello, I'm back again. I'm Rita Halklein, your host for the next hour. This past hour, a half hour, I was speaking to you about the new saints, Carlos Acutis and Pier Giorgio Frassati, and also about Charlie Kirk's murder, and how those two things have been kind of a wake-up call to us. And so I want to continue with that. But first of all, I want to tell you that on Monday, October 13th, Columbus Day, we have a fundraiser. It's a golf outing, a golf tournament at the Old York Road Country Club in Ambler. And I'm going to ask you, two fundraisers a year. And this is probably the biggest one. But we need you to make donations so we can stay on the air and we can proclaim Christ to the world. And but for this occasion, if you want to donate things to put in for a silent auction basket, we would really appreciate it. Also, if you want to make donations in cash or whatever, monetary donations, I guess I should say, you can call the office here and speak to Maureen. The number is 610-527-2906. 610-527-2906. And talk to her about what is needed and how you might be able to help us out. Okay? And thank you for those who've already done so. And thank you for those of you who will be doing so. We really appreciate it. Anyway, we saw at the end of, we saw these two events, the Saints and Charlie Kirk. Why do we keep saying Cook? Kirk murder as two events involving younger people. I don't think that was unnoticed by the Lord. And so we don't understand why the Charlie Kirk thing happened, but God has promised that he will always bring good out of evil. He only allows evil to have its say for a short period of time because he is going to make good out of it. And you have to look at what he has been doing since Charlie was murdered. Look at the peace and peace rallies and the remembering Charlie rallies. They're remembering Charlie because he spoke of Jesus Christ and the truth. There are a lot of people in history that have been murdered because they spoke the truth. A lot. And I'm not going to go into all those names, but John the Baptist and Jesus Christ both were murdered because they spoke the truth. They lived the truth. People didn't like it. They still don't like it. It's our nature in many ways because of the fall in the Garden of Eden to not like anyone telling us what we should and shouldn't do, especially if we're living in the sinful way and we like it. Don't tell me it's bad for me. Don't tell me it's against God's laws. If it feels good, do it. And if God didn't want me to do it, he wouldn't make me feel so good when I do it. Well, sorry, that's not the way it works. The evil one is good at fooling you into thinking you're happy when you're not really happy. But God is causing an awakening, a ground-shaking awakening in this nation. And it's not over yet, and it's not going to be over for a while, because I think it's just beginning. I was reading today that the Turning Point, the organization that Charlie headed up, has had tens of thousands, I think it was like 250,000 requests since Charlie was murdered for youth groups around the country, well, maybe around the world, to start their own Turning Point groups. And so, the Lord is working. He's working very much in the young people. The older people, the baby boomers and stuff, Some of us have closed our hearts to the truth. And some of us, he's basically shaking the dust off his feet. And he's working on the young people because the young people are the hope for the world. And they have open hearts and minds to the truth. So that's where he's going. And God help him with his goals. And so, but, you know, there are things that we can be doing. First of all, let's join with the other people in the world who are awakening and saying, wow, you know, my faith is important to me, but I have been afraid to share it, or I have been kind of living behind closed doors, afraid of what the world was doing and getting my head shut off, you know, kind of thing. Or I've been living a worldly life, even though I claim to be a Christian. I haven't been living a Christian life. I really haven't gotten to know Jesus much more than I did when I was a little kid. So anyway, let's join with this awakening. Let's step up to the plate and say, hey, okay, this is happening. It's happening for a reason. I want to be a part of it. And I'm not talking about being a Charlie Kirk supporter or you know, pushing any agendas. I'm just saying, let's choose the good. Let's overcome evil with good. Let's be good. Let's do good. Let's choose good. All right? And then let us be living icons of children of God, followers of Jesus Christ. Let us be living icons of good and peace and beauty. I always pray the prayer that is attributed to Saint Francis, but probably he probably didn't write it personally, but someone who knew him well must have, because it's right up his alley. But I choose to believe that he wrote it, just because it makes it easier for me. But it's, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Make me an instrument of your peace. Not my human peace, your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, sow pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there's despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. We can't have any better goals in life to bring that healing, that beauty into this world, because the world right now isn't very beautiful. It's pretty ugly. And, you know, St. John Paul II, Papa John Paul, someone asked him at one point, after World War II, when the world was still such a mess, they asked him something like, how do you live in an abyss of evil where it's all around you? How do you live in an abyss of evil? You know what he said? He said, I give them an abyss of love. I love with an abyss of love. So that's it. Fight evil with good. Overcome evil with good. He also used to say that evil destroys itself. The bad ones turn on themselves and devour themselves. So, and he's right. We see it every day. What is wonderful in the world's eyes today is shot down, or I shouldn't say shot down, is criticized, rejected, useless to the world tomorrow. Something new comes along, and that's where they go. Okay. So anyway, in order to do something really constructive, okay, really constructive during this time, I want to encourage you to do it, because with the Lord, there's always hope. You can see it in these rallies. It's not so much about Charlie Kirk. He was important, Yes, and he was the means for this renewal in faith and in hope. But this is about us as a peoples. Where do we want to go? And what are we willing to do to make that happen? It's not about other people doing it. It's not about the politicians, God forbid, making everything right. It's about us. Where are our hearts? What are we willing to do to make it better? So, in my opinion, I have a couple of things for action. The first thing we need to do is take a dose of humility before God. A dose of humility before God. Our culture is not humble and has not been humble. There are experts everywhere on everything, and a lot of people who aren't experts who think they are experts on everything. They decide for themselves what is right and wrong, what is good and bad, instead of submitting to what God has already told us throughout all of history, what is good and bad and what's right and wrong. He himself has told us, and if you read scripture and study that, you will see that when people of the world walk in his ways, pay attention to his guidelines on how to live as an individual and how to live as a culture and in society, beautiful things happen. Good things happen. Charlie Kirk's don't get shot. Okay? That's God's way. But we, some of us have decided that we don't believe in God, or God is a habit or a hobby that's on the side, and we pick and choose what commandments, what church teachings, whatever we like, we do, what we don't like, we don't, and we're playing God. And even among Christians, you hear it all the time. Well, I just don't believe that. Or I prefer to not do that commandment because I'm doing it my way and I think this is better. Or God didn't say that. Well, he did say that. All right. So if we Christians, and I'm talking to you guys out there who I know love the Lord with your whole heart, who are really into wanting to be instruments of God's peace and love and healing. I'm talking to you because we can all use some humility. We can all use some humility. But if we want to be true instruments of healing and peace, the world desperately needs us. All right? We have to not only accept God's love, but also his commandments, live in submission to him as he is our Lord, not just our Savior. Live his ways that is pleasing in his sight. It opens the door for him to hear us more, for us to hear him. He heals, he revives, and he promises to truly be our God. Now, so I want to share with you some promises in Bible scriptures. There's millions of them. Well, not millions, but quite a few. But here are two that I thought were really, really, three of them, I'm sorry, that I thought really spoke to this whole humility thing. Humility, folks, is just accepting and realizing that God is God and I am not. That's it. That's simple. And I have to respect him as my God, my creator, who knows what's good for us, who loves us with wild abandon, and be in union with him. Okay, but here's some scriptures. In the book of Isaiah, God says, "This is the one to whom I will look. Anyone who is humble and contrite in spirit." Also again in Isaiah, "I dwell in the high and holy place, and also with anyone who is of a contrite and lowly spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly, and to revive the heart of the contrite." And in the book of Psalms, David, King David says, "My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, you, O God, will not despise." Okay. Having humility before the Lord, just pouring your heart out to Him, loving Him, following Him where He wants you to go. And some people are called way up here, some people are called way down here. We're all called to something to make this world better. But to be humble and being contrite is saying, "Okay, Lord, I'm here. I long to do your will." You're saying yes to the Lord. Okay? The second thing that I recommend that I found from Scripture, this isn't for me, it's all from Scripture. First thing is get a little dose of humility. The second thing is we must ask ourselves every day, every morning, even non-Christians, am I going to be a healer or a hurter today? Am I going to choose good over evil? Am I going to help be the Lord's instrument, or even just humankind's instrument of healing today? Or am I going to spend my day criticizing, being ugly, impatient, honking my horn, rushing around, not paying any attention to the needs of the world and how I have been, every person on this planet has been especially equipped with the ability to help. You don't have to be Christian to help. We Christians know that the best help comes in union with Christ, but everybody can do this. We choose to be a healer, not a hurter, and commit ourselves to that for that day. And part of that is focusing on what is right in the world and seeking ways to heal what is not. Instead, it says, and I wrote this earlier, stop grumbling and do something. God hates grumbling. It's all through Scripture. He hates grumbling. He doesn't hate the grumbler. He hates grumbling. It is destructive. It is evidence of a lack of faith in Him. And it's just downright hurting. It hurts for people to grumble all the time. You know, a lot of people have given up their social media because all they see, there's a lot of good on there, but a lot of nastiness is on there. And that is a hurter. Continually bringing up the wounds of the world, continually criticizing the president or a Democrat or an unbeliever or a believer for everything that's wrong in the world. Quit grumbling and do something. Quit grumbling and do something. And because I believe in Jesus Christ and I have seen the evidence of His good lived out in the world, I want to point out two things. He taught us two very important ways to be healers. And I pray that you will take His advice. Even non-believers can do this. The first one, do to others whatever you would have them do to you. Do to others whatever you would have them do to you. In other words, say, do, and treat others the same way you would want to be treated. Listen to them. Connect with them. Help them when needed. Respect the image of God in each, even the most horrid unbeliever, even the most hardened criminal, still is made a part of them somewhere deep inside, is still loved by God, and is still in His image, just waiting to bloom in the right conditions. So respect the image of God in each one. Speak good, not evil. Assume the best, not the worst. How many of us have gotten into this critical assuming the worst of everybody these days? I hear it all the time, even in the Christian world. Not everybody, but I'm just encouraging you, please, do to others what you would wish them to do to you. Realize that everyone has opinions because of their life experiences and the things that they have heard and seen. They have reasons for their beliefs. They might be wrong, but they have reasons. So respect that. Engage them in conversation. Share your reasons and all that, and start dialogue again. Stop this cancel culture. Nobody wants to be canceled. Nobody wants to be put on the back burner in a way that, you know, you don't exist anymore. I mean, that's not constructive. That's not helpful. That's hateful. That's hateful. I want to share with you an example. I went to a funeral, and I was sitting at a group of a table with a group of people I didn't know. And there was this couple sitting beside me, and they obviously, I could tell by a couple of comments that they had made, they were opposite of me on a lot of issues and faith and that sort of thing. I could just tell. And, you know, you kind of get like worked up inside when you hear these things. But by the grace of God, a little something in me said, well, wait a minute, let's don't jump to conclusions. So I started asking them questions, not nasty questions, just I wanted to get to know them. I wanted to know, why do you feel that way? What are your hopes and dreams for the country or for education or whatever? And we had this really, really good, engaged conversation. I would ask questions and they would answer, and I got to know them. And I found out in the end, they did too, that we have more in common than we thought when this began. So that is what happens when you engage with people. You find out that in many ways we're not that different. It's just how we deal with it that's different. So please, please be open. All right. The second advice that Jesus gave us is actually a commandment. He said, I give you a new commandment. Did you know that he did that? I give you a new commandment. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you also should love one another. That's different. That's different, way different from loving your neighbor as yourself. Love as Jesus loved. Only possible by the grace of God. And he is willing to give it to us. All right? He was a very generous person. Self-sacrificing, patient, truthful, loving, supportive, correcting when needing to be, but always with love. Now, when he was dealing with the Pharisees who were supposed to be teaching the people the things that he was teaching, and they weren't, he was very stern with them. And he got angry because they, of all people, should know better. But they weren't practicing what they preached. And so he really gave them the business for that. So basically, do to others what you would have them do to you. Love others like Jesus has loved us and set the example for us so that we can do it. And by his grace, we can. And I thought about Mother Teresa when I was looking at that. It was like she used to say, do small things with great love. That's what we're called to. Every day, just keep our eyes open. How can we love people into the kingdom? How can we love people into accepting the beauty of themselves and how much God wants to make them even more beautiful? We know that those things are possible because the Lord has already, we Christians have already been given all that we need. We already have it to help bring unity, hope, healing, and truth back into our little corner of the world. We just have to believe and act on it. St. Paul encourages us with these words in the book of Romans. He tells us that in spite of all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Jesus Christ who loves us. It's already there. Jesus has already won the victory, but we have to cooperate with it. We have to be those that healing force, that light, that salt in the earth that helps bring that victory and beauty to the rest of the world. Don't be afraid to speak out, but do it with love and understanding and respect. And then in Ephesians, St. Paul says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavens." We already have that. We just have to believe it, trust it, and do it. Act on it. We, Christians, have the only answer to the world's, every individual's pain, sorrow, confusion, lack of love, lack of purpose, healing, etc. We have the answer, and that is Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, the Savior of the world. The world is starving for him. We can bring him to them. Let's do that. Okay, be the instrument. Join forces with others if you need to. Bring Jesus to the world in your words, actions, and love. Okay? Well, that's about it for tonight. I have to go, but until we are together again, please pray for us here at the network. We are definitely praying for you, and I ask the Lord to bless you abundantly. And I hope that this has been encouraging to you and helpful to you, and that you can set the world on fire by going out and being who God has created you to be in his love, his passion, and his resurrection. God bless you. Love you. Bye-bye.